Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. If you have your Bibles tonight, open them to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. How many of y'all glad you braved the cold weather and you came out tonight? How many of y'all feel the presence of God here tonight? Amen. I know I do too. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mark chapter 10. As you're going there, I just kind of want to set up what I'm going to be talking about tonight. Those of you that are faithful on Sunday morning, lots of times in prayer on a Sunday morning, God will give me a word of exhortation to build you. And those are raw. Those are just right Sunday morning. I get those. Sometimes I get them when I'm standing right here. And so anyways, when God kind of puts that in me, sometimes ago, I talked about blind Bartimaeus. How many of y'all were here in that service when I talked about blind Bartimaeus and luggage and baggage and all those things, all right? I'm going to talk about baggage tonight. Now elbow your neighbor and say, you got some baggage. All right, very good. If you ain't got no neighbor, that means you got the baggage, buddy. All right? Now, how many of y'all know when you travel, I enjoy traveling by myself, although I love going with my precious wife, Brandy. But it's so much easier when I go by myself because it don't take much for me. 2 weeks ago, I flew to Denver to see my parents, and it's just a little puddle jumper from here to Denver, and I left right after church, flew over there, spent some time with my family. The next morning, they had given us a car for my family, and Noelle's going to be driving that. Thank you, Jesus. That's an answer to prayer. Hallelujah. And so, anyways, I drove that car back, but when I went over there, all I had was a backpack, and I had all the essentials of what Travis Lee Bennett needed in a backpack. Now, it wouldn't have suited Doug DeBenny right here, I'll tell you right now. When he goes places, he has things not only for him, but for people he may meet down the road. I mean, he goes packing, let me tell you. But when I was flying, I was thinking to myself, man, this is so simple. I didn't have a carry-on. All I had was my backpack. I had a change of clothes inside that backpack. I had my iPad in that backpack. Because I know this, if I carry all those other things, it will cost you. It will not only cost you, but I can go a long time with one bag. Now, let me tell you something. When the family of the Bennetts go somewhere, I'm talking the whole motley crew. It's terrible, y'all. Like, I love my wife, but there's times where we go overnight, JD, and it's like, are we spending the whole year on going into this place? Men, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? Now, in this case, Heidi's raising her hand for Doug because he's the one who packs all the stuff. But, I mean, I got a backpack, Brandy's got a backpack, Anson's got a backpack, Addison's got a backpack, everybody has a backpack, then everybody has two bags. I have one little bag, but then mine got to a big bag because I have me and Brandy's clothes, her second bag of clothes, all right? She's got shoes for everything. We went to the NFR this year. She packed two bags, and I had a little bitty carry-on. I took one pair of shoes, the one I took over there. I took one pair of jeans because I didn't plan on getting dirty, all right, and a few shirts. I didn't take no boots. I didn't take nothing. I was like, I'm on vacation going to the National Finals Rodeo. And Brandy, she had to check her bags. It was simple for me. Because I know this, when we all go together, it's like a circus. It takes more time, and it takes more people to get involved, right? When we got all them bags, I got to go if you've ever flown before, Southwest, you got to show them all your IDs and all that different stuff. When I fly by myself, I've got my boarding pass on my phone. I just go right through, no problem whatsoever. I've already checked in online, but when the circus comes to town, I've got to go through the line. I've got to prove to Southwest that Catch is over three for whatever crazy reason that is. I have to pay them for extra bags. I have to pay them for the water. I have to pay them to even breathe the oxygen on the plane. Does that make sense? So not only does it take more time, it involves more people, and it costs me my money, it costs me my time, sometimes it costs me my faith, all right? I'm just going to tell you right now, like I'm worried about being a Christian sometimes when we go on these long trips together, and I'm so glad Brandy's teaching kids tonight. Hello. But anyways, how many of y'all know life is the same way? Life's the same way. And I want to tell you tonight, there's some of you that you've packed on some extra luggage. You've packed on some extra things. And I just want to tell you, you only need to take what's necessary. Because if you don't, it will cost you time. It'll cost you money. It'll cost you relationships. It will cost you pain. Amen? It'll cost you pain. Over time, what happens is we pick up extra bags. We pick up guilt and anger. We pick up like a relationship where somebody has cheated on you or said something against you, or maybe it's something that somebody said, or maybe something didn't say, or something somebody did, or maybe something they didn't do that you wish they would have done, and you pick up this low self-esteem. You pick up all these different things, whether it be with a husband or it be with, you know, any spouse of any kind, or a mother or a dad, and you pick up all this stuff. Now you make choices against people and things that happen in your life. Money, it affects everything based on that pain that happened to you. Where at first it started with one bag, and over time it came bag after bag after bag. Am I talking to somebody tonight? Whether I'm talking to you, this may be down the road, so you listen up. It may have been some words that have been spoken over you. How many of y'all know that can be a curse over your life? Maybe it's words that's even came out of your mouth. Maybe even very words that you've cursed yourself, or I feel like I am cursed. Get that garbage off you. That's a bag. Get rid of the bag. It could be something that happened that you go back to when you were a kid, that it plays over in your mind, or maybe you dream it at one time. And I just want to tell you, no wonder you're so weighed down, and no wonder you can't get lift off on the airway or on the runway is because you got too much weight. We got too much weight, and you can't go to the next level. You can't go to the next step. And it's like things are changing, but you're not. Like you can change your marriage, but if you don't change, it'll divorce too. You can change your relationship, but how many of y'all know, and I have found this to be true. I've noticed this when people come in. Let me just say it in the secular world. When somebody calls me and says, hey, I've had so-and-so shoe my horse, and I've had so-and-so shoe my horse, and I hate that so-and-so. And I've had other so-and-so shoe my horse, and I've had this other so-and-so shoe my horse, and I hate that guy even more than so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. Now, would you like to shoe my horses? No, because I'm going to be so-and-so, right? How many of y'all know that? It's just like in relationship or even this church, people come in, oh, we went to this church, but this happened at this church. And then we went to this church, and this happened at this church. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't want you in this church. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because the underlying factor of all those churches is you. The underlying factor of all these other horseshoers is you. Now, there is some out there, I agree with them. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I really do. All right, moving on. But how many of y'all know you can change relationships? You can change relationship after relationship. And I believe God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness can come in and things can get right. But until you make some changes, you'll be at the same spot. You can change jobs, job after job after job, but until you change you, it's never going to work. You can change banks and checkbooks, but until you learn how to do a budget, you'll still be broke. Come on. Am I helping somebody? That still neglect of money will come into this new checkbook, even though it looks brand new and you have a brand new checkbook cover. You know, the difference is this, is there's people that have scabs and there's people that have scars. You know, I have a scab right here on my finger. I caught it in my grinder, and it ripped all the skin off. Well, it was scabbed, and today I hit it, and it bled. And I know that there's people that they have scabs and not scars. See, what's the difference in scar? A couple years ago, I have a scar on my wrist here. I was at the Costellmans helping them put their barn together, and I cut myself. It was a simple cut, but I guarantee you it bled, didn't it, Renora? It bled, but I have a scar here. But when I look at that scar, I see a story, but I also see this, that it's healed. See, when you bump this, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. I have two scars when we got in the wreck in 1988. In between Quanah and Childress. I have two scars right here on my knees. I was a little boy. I have these scars. These scars represent a story. These scars also, though, when you bump these scars, they don't hurt me. When you bump the scab, holy leaping lizards, it's so sore. It's just like with people. If they got scabs, it's like this. If I had a hot cup of coffee, here's a great way to explain this. If I have a hot cup of coffee and somebody comes up and bumps me and I spill that coffee onto them, is it going to not only hurt me on my hand from the hot coffee, it's going to hurt them as well. It might be a little offense. It may be something so small, but that person reacts so big because it's a scab. Am I making sense? Like, there's been times I've been shooing at somebody's house, one particular place that I remember, and this horse was being a jerk, and I pulled out, and I belly kicked him. Let me tell you something. Horses being bad, I could try out for the Dallas Cowboys as a punter, and I promise you, I could do liftoff with a ball. And every time before, this guy was no problem, but this guy, he's like, hey, why are you acting like that? I'm like, your horse is being an idiot, and you know that. Later on, he comes back to me, and he begins to spill all these things. See, he reacted. He went totally bonkers on me. I'm telling you, totally bonkers on me. And I was thinking to myself, what in the world? I've never seen him like this. He comes back later. He comes out to the barn. He begins to weep, begin to bawl. What was he doing? He had a scab and the little bit of bump. That coffee spilled not only on me, on him, but it spilled all over on me. See, there's sometimes in people's life where you see the way that they react and you think, man, that's not that big of a deal. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know how full the coffee is to the top. Well, it's just an accident. See, what happens is with your baggage, your cart is overflowing. You're going through the airport and you got that big cart. You're at the hotel and you got that cart way up. One little bump could cause all that baggage to fall on someone or fall out of the way. I want to address some bags. You know, we have bags that stack up around us. We have things that happen in our life. And there's times where you think, I thought I was healed of that. And then somebody rips them open again. Am I talking to somebody tonight? They rip them back open again. We were at a wrestling tournament in Oklahoma City. Addison was playing volleyball there as well. One of those things, we were there for 4 days, and Brandy packed 50 bags. I mean, the whole back car was packed. I'm like, are we moving into this hotel? But I'm glad she had 14 outfits for a wrestling tournament. Moving on. And yeah, so we pack all this stuff up, and Addison has the cart, and it's completely full. And she's pushing the cart through this nice Hilton Garden Inn. And I mean, she's taking paint off walls, just bumping into places because she can't see and she has her head down. Just boom, she hits something. And I have my hands full as well. And the guy comes out and he's like, ma'am, can I help you with that? And she goes, yeah, you got to know my daughter. She goes, yeah, take it. Like, no problem. Because she couldn't see over the bags. Neither could he anyway. But I just want to bring this to your attention tonight. Your baggage can blind you. Your baggage can blind you to see hope, blind you to have joy, blind you of your purpose in life. It can blind you of a desire for anything to be better. It can blind you to even get on to the other side. And tonight I want to look at this blind man, Bartimaeus, and I want you to see something here. He only takes what is necessary. Let's look at it. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says this. Then they came to Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus. Everybody say Bartimaeus. All right, that's a good word. That's going to be our next kid. Which means son. No, I'm not saying that in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me. Son of Timaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. I want you to look at this. Y'all go with me here. Here's this blind man. It says, we're leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. He was begging. This means his physical limitations had affected him economically. This means this. His ability to make money was affected by his inability to see anything. This also tells me this, that blindness had bought him poverty. Blindness had bought him poverty. I'm going to ask you tonight, has blindness bought you poverty? Has bags up in your life caused you not to see, and it has robbed you of peace? It has robbed you of joy. It's robbed you of direction. It's robbed you of hope. It's robbed you of good relationships. I want to just remind you tonight, John 10:10 tells us this. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. How many of y'all know it's like the snowball effect on both sides? Depends on what side of the mountain that you're on. There's times where the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and it's like the hits just keep on coming. And you feel like you're at the top of a mountain, it's like topsy-turvy. And if you're not careful, you'll collect all those things that the enemy's done in your life. But I don't know about you, I want to have the mindset that that God comes to give life and life more abundantly. I don't want to grab a hold of all the things going down that mountain of anger and all those things that enemies tried to steal from me. I want to take all the things God's given to me. I want to build up as a snowball effect the healings that God's done in my life, how he's provided for me. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one in here that has trusted God for things to happen in my life? I don't want the snowball effect of baggage of all the things the enemy's taken away. I want to get the things that God has done for me that provide life and life more abundantly. So it goes on, verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called him the blind. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. How many of y'all know it's a powerful moment when God calls you? Amen. How many of y'all know God's called you tonight? Verse 50, going on. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Before I go to verse 47 here, I just want you to see something. Jesus, go. He said, go. Every account of somebody being healed or provided for or God answering something is a result of obedience in faith. I just want you to think about it. All throughout Scripture, I could tell you millions of things, but some of the ones that just come to my head right now is Lazarus. He said, turn, take the stone away. There's a dead man in there. He's been dead for 3 days, but I want you to move the stone. See, it was on their faith of them moving the stone that Lazarus got out. It was an act of obedience that they did. Lazarus got out because an act of faith. The blind man, where he spit and put mud on his eyes. He said, he wasn't healed then. He said, go and wash. When he went and washed, he was healed. That was an act of faith. When they were at the gate called Beautiful, Peter and John were there. And they begin to pray for the crippled man who'd been crippled his whole life. See, if he wouldn't have not have taken the step, he had never walked in his life. But if he would have not taken the movement to step up in faith, he would have never walked. He said, go. Faith was expressed in this man's cry. Why did he cry? Why did he cry? Because he heard. Now, I want you to think about this. I heard this, or I saw this before. Jeff could probably tell me if this is right. But when one sense, like your eyesight, is taken, one sense is elevated in your life. Is that correct? So it says he heard. He couldn't see, but by golly, he could hear. And he could hear big. Now I want you to think about this, just being at the place he was. It says in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I was always wondering, what was he hearing? I promise you this, he was hearing the good things that Jesus had done. He was hearing, oh, here comes Jesus. What were the 12 talking about? Were they recounting people being raised from the dead? You know, John tells us that we don't even know the half of what Jesus did. Was he recounting, you know, him down by the creek walking on water like Tombstone? Was he recounting, you know, people raised from the dead, blind eyes seeing, that they hit, those things have already happened, crippled men that were walking, I mean, deaf people now hearing? Was he recounting all those? Bartimaeus is like, he said what? He said what? What are they saying? Am I hearing this right? Just because of something that he heard. Now I want to get this in you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You've got to get beyond your eyesight, people. Faith cometh by hearing. It's what he heard. What have you heard? What have you heard? I know you've heard the word of God if you've ever sat in here. Amen. You've heard the word of God. If I thought, you know, I might be in the same boat. If I thought that God was far off, I don't know that I would cry out to him either. But I want to tell you tonight that we serve a God Almighty. He's not the I was, but he is the I am. He's the I am healer. He's the I am provider. He's the I am strong tower. He's the I am refuge in time of need. I'm telling you tonight, get that in you. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Going back to the basics of a hip-hop stage, you know, the moves and the lyrics. What the heck just happened back there? What's going on? I'm about to. Oh, Lord. Man, I almost busted out like Eminem. Come on. How many of y'all know he'll rewrite your future? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He'll be with you in the beginning. He'll be with you in the valley, but he'll be with you in the mountaintop as well. Come on, I'm just trying to build your faith tonight for you to hear what God can do in your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Can I get an amen in here tonight? All right. About to get, you know, I'm going to need some piano here in a minute. Ginger, you may have to help me out, all right? All right. When you hear it, I want you to get this in you. When you hear it, cry out to Jesus. I want you to see something in the text. I've never seen this before, but when you hear it, when he heard it, he cried out to Jesus. You know why you cry out to Jesus? Because if you would have gotten rid of the baggage, it would have already been gone. But there's some of y'all that are still carrying baggage today that should have been gone 15 years ago. Carrying baggage is no fun. It's heavy. It's painful. You know, it hurts people that you love, but it also hurts you because you beat yourself up over and over about it. How many of y'all know the enemy draws you in and he gives you, maybe it's something that you said, I'm never going to do that again. And then you justify it inside of your head and then you do it again and you feel like the scum of the earth. That's the way the enemy works, right? That's where the enemy wants you to be. You idiot, why did you do that? But I want to tell you tonight, we serve a supernatural God. And the same God that opened his eyes can open yours tonight. How many of y'all believe that? The same God that opened his eyes can open your eyes tonight. He cried out, Son of David, have mercy. What I love about this text is the crowd says, hey, shut up. Quit acting like that. Don't praise him like that. Can I tell you something tonight? Don't judge someone else's worship, because you don't know what the hell they went through this week. Am I helping somebody tonight? Don't judge somebody else's worship. You don't know where they've been. You don't know the scabs that they have today. In the same sense, if they're not praising, that means they've not cried out to the Lord. And I want to tell you tonight, don't carry that baggage alone. Don't carry that baggage. Give it to God. He cried out to the Lord, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." It wasn't a proper cry. It wasn't socially acceptable. But I want to tell you, it came from the inside. It came from something on the inside of him that said, "I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being blind." He said this. He was saying this, "I'm getting it today." I want to tell you tonight, you can get it tonight. How big is your cry? How big is it? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." If you're going to get past this, get sick and tired of the devil running you over. Put him in check. Put him on notice. The Bible says, "He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How big is your cry? How big do you want it? I've noticed this in my life. My weakness always attracts his goodness. Were you at a place of humbleness? Cry out to Jesus. Especially in those moments where it's like, "God, if you don't move, this is over for me." Cry out to the Lord. Am I helping somebody tonight? I see this guy here, and I see him like at the end of the year, so many places and things in our life where it's like, "I'm not dragging this mess into 2020 again. I'm not dragging these things. I'm not bringing this back into my school. I'm not bringing this back into my work. I'm not bringing this back into my relationships. I'm only going to take what's necessary for me to go where I'm supposed to go and do what I'm supposed to do. I'm done paying the devil's baggage claim." How many of y'all done doing that? Verse 49, I love this. He said, "Jesus stopped and said, 'Calm him.' So they said to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus." And I love this, because he's like, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. Now, the smart aleck in me is like, "What do you think?" Right? I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. Today, as I was reading this, I was like, what's going through his head? Is this a trick question? Right? But then it hit me, was Jesus doesn't ask because he's lacking information. He didn't need to know Bartimaeus' need. He needed to know that Bartimaeus knew his own need. Now, bear with me here. He didn't need to know what Bartimaeus wanted. He wanted to make sure that Bartimaeus knew what he needed. Because you can't heal what you can't identify. Right? You can't heal something that you still tolerate. Let me put it that way. You can't change what you still tolerate, what you still put up with. He says, "I want to see." God can't heal the fake you. We need to come out of a place of humbleness. We need to try a different approach. We need to come from a heart of, "God, I'm just so insecure. God, I lash out at my kids in anger. God, forgive. I want to be able to forgive so-and-so. I also want to be able to forgive myself." Come on, just whatever it is that you have, whatever thing that you're going through. Can I have the band just real quick come up? We're going to sing that song, "I Just Want You." Whatever it is. You know what it is. Whatever that secret is, whatever that sexing is, It could be pornography. It could be a secret addiction that your spouse doesn't even know about. What are those things that you're coming? We're still in the beginning phases of 2020. I'm just asking you, what is baggage? People may see you with a big smile on your face and everything's hunky-dory, but you know those things that I'm talking about that you are blind to tonight. It could be that you're a little white liar, that you lie about things. And there's still all the time, there's something that's just heavy on you. Come on, you know what those things are. What is baggage in your life tonight? What are those things? This last part, I love this. He said, go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is where I get this. I've only take what's necessary. You have to stay on the road with Jesus. Come on. You have to stay on the road with Jesus. The only thing you need to pack is what he has to offer. There's some of you, you've released it. And you've picked some things back up. You've released it, and you've picked two more things back up. You've released it, you've picked three more things back up. Why did he follow Jesus? Because along the road, you are going to pick some things up. But as you keep following God, the Holy Spirit will help you release those things. And you only take what's necessary. I believe there's people in the room tonight. I believe there's people in this room, as I'm talking right now, there is some baggage that you have. There's some baggage, some things that you have. I just want to tell you tonight, cry out to the Lord. This story of Bartimaeus is in here for a reason, to show us something. Cry out to Jesus. Come on, cry out to Jesus. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know there's some things in here. There's things in my life that it's like, you know what, God, I'm not going into 2020 with it. I'm not carrying this thing that I've been carrying since I was a little girl or a little boy. I'm not carrying those things anymore. He cried out to God. Another thing that he did, as he cried out to God, what is he doing? He's praising the Lord. He is crying out to God. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. I believe there's something in the room that you can leave here changed better than you ever came in. If you're in here with every head bowed, with every eye closed, and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I've got baggage. I have hurts that I constantly go back to. When things are going wrong or things are... I go back and I blame that person. I go back and I think about things that happened 30 years ago. I want to tell you tonight, that's not a scar, it's a scab. People tell you forgive and forget. I'll tell you right now, that's impossible to completely forget, but I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that he can take that heavy weight of baggage off of you. I believe there's a healing moment here tonight. Some things you've been carrying. And I believe there's something that happens when you come to an altar like this and you just cry out to the Lord. We got 5 more minutes. If you're in here and you say, you know what, I'm carrying something, I want to encourage you, just come down here. Kneel at this altar right here. You have things that are blinding you. Come on, there's a healing moment here tonight. I know. Come on. I know there's more of you. Yeah. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, release it. I believe this. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's some of you that are thinking, I feel it in my spirit. If I go forward, what is so-and-so going to think? I'm telling you, you need to cry out to Jesus tonight. You're blinded. You're blinded. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I just pray for these that are up here right now. Lord, I pray that forgiveness is flowing, God, right here at this altar in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that forgiveness is happening. Oh, Lord, things, weights are being lifted, and now in Jesus' name, things that have been said, not only to them, but they've said out of their mouth. God, I just pray for healing right now in Jesus' name. We release it. We cry out to you. You are our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our strong tower. Lord, I just pray that right now in Jesus' name, that heavy weight where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Oh, thank you, Lord, that treasures are coming out of these dark places in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that relationships are going to be restored from this moment. Son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, kids of things that have been severed. Lord, I just pray as we cry out to the healer tonight, Lord, I just thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you're beginning to restore some things. You're beginning to show some things. Lord, those things that have been done that, God, you know about. You know about. Lord, that's blinded us, that's been heavy, that's hurt us. Lord, we release them to you in Jesus' name. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on these. Have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Lord, we forgive that mom. We forgive that dad. We forgive that brother. We forgive that sister. We forgive that stepdad or stepmom. We forgive them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray for your healing hand right now, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the God who restores, the God of mercy right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak to these situations. I pray, God, that you just pour out your Spirit. We release it, and we grab the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. We release it. Holy Spirit, minister, comforter, guider, in Jesus' name. I pray this act of faith, God, as these people that are coming to the front right now, this act of faith. You said go. He said go. He said go. This act of faith. As they're coming forward, Lord, as they've came forward, if they're at this step, I pray, God, right now in Jesus' name, this act of faith, Lord, is releasing something by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you begin to confirm things to them in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're restoring things. You're restoring things. We let go. We let go. We let go of that X. Come on, let go of it. We let go of that X. We let go of those things that have been done. We let go of those things that have hurt us. We let go of them, God. We only take what we need. Lord, minister to these, God. In Jesus' name. Tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray that you confirm things. You confirm things in Jesus' name. Lord, we pick up the Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to those answers, God. Open our eyes to you working. You working, God. You're doing a work. You're doing great, mighty things. And so, Lord, thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for your presence.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.